listening to All Things Cage at Wavefarm's WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears. I'm your host, Laura Kuhn, director of the John Cage Trust. And to celebrate the incoming new year and inspired by the opportunity provided in the creation of last week's program for All Things Cage, to listen to all manner of music by John Cage as performed and recorded over the years by last week's guest, the celebrated pianist and conductor Stephen Drury, let's listen this week to some unusual works by Cage, also by Stephen Drury, scored for Enhanced Orchestra, etc. from 1973, and etc. 2 for orchestras from 1985. As Drury writes in his excellent liner notes for the Mode Records CD 86, on which the two works first appeared, duality, contradiction, choice, freedom, and anarchy are the themes animating both. Multiplicity and mirrors are everywhere. Multiplicity of performing options, multiplicity of ensembles, multiplicity of conductors. Tape music and live music, standard and unconventional notation, repetition and non-repetition. Each piece contains contradictory elements, and the elements of each piece find their reflections in the other, sometimes corresponding, sometimes changing into their opposite. There is constant foot traffic on stage. The several conducted groups and soloists play simultaneously against each other. The sounds on the pre-recorded tapes, which play throughout both compositions, made in the environments in which the pieces were written, become the sonic environments in which the live music is played. After a few words about each work, based on Drury's liner notes, we'll listen to both as released on Mode Records 86, Cage Edition 21, Orchestral Works 2, performed by the New England Conservatory Symphony Orchestra and the Calathumpian Consort, Stephen Drury, director. Conductors across the two works were Drury himself, Tamara Brooks, Charles Peltz, Marcia Hassett, and Laurie K. Redmer. The first recording of two major orchestral works by John Cage was recorded under the composer's supervision at the New England Conservatory's John Cage Festival in 1981. John Cage's Etc. was created for the Ballet de l'Opéra Paris premiere performance of Cunningham's Enjeu Urdu, which took place on November 6, 1973, lasting 90 minutes with stage decor and costumes by Jasper Johns, assisted by his collaborator, the late British artist and designer Mark Lancaster. The instrumentation of Etc. includes empty, inverted cardboard boxes that, when struck, create sounds that may be likened to the rustling of leaves and the patter of raindrops. Thus, the work belongs with other of Cage's environmental pieces of the time, Branches from 1976 and Child of Tree from 1975, which make use of plant materials. The tape employed in performance was created by David Berman, a musician associated with Cunningham, and includes the sounds of birds, wind, and distant traffic recorded in Stony Point, New York, where John Cage was then living. As Drury writes, in orchestral music, the conductor plays the role of government. The critic and writer on 20th century music, Peter Yates, once described composer-conductor Pierre Boulez's role in his own works as that of a traffic cop. Cage was politically uncomfortable with exploiting this role in his composition. Thus, in Etc., the musicians begin without conductor and move at their own option to one of three stations. Each station is provided with two, three, or four chairs, respectively, facing one of three conductors. When a station is fully occupied, the conductor begins beating. While music is provided in the score for flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, trumpet, horn, tuba, strings, six percussionists, and two pianists, etc., may be performed by an ensemble of any size. The two pianists, unable to move with their instruments, are given their own notated instrumental music, which they may play at any time. They become, in effect, stations that consist of only one player. Let's have a listen to John Cage's Etc.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, a few words about Etc. 2 for orchestras from 1986. As Drury notes, in much of Cage's music, dating back to the Concert for Piano and Orchestra from 1957-58, the conductor functions as a kind of moving clock hand, showing time lapsed, but not indicating precise beats. In Etc. 2 for orchestras, the four conductors beat somewhat more conventionally, giving single downbeat cues for the orchestral chords. Cage had noticed that musicians often prefer to be conducted, to be governed, rather than be given the freedom and responsibility which his own music customarily offered. Thus, the players are given a choice. Beginning under one of the conductors, the musicians may move at their own option to one of eight stations, where they play solo material unconducted. Etc. 2 for orchestras is scored for large orchestra, divided into four smaller ensembles with fixed instrumentation, each with its own conductor. It was made on commission for the opening series of concerts at the new Suntory Hall in Tokyo and premiered on December 8, 1986, the final work on a program that included works by Christian Wolff, world premieres of Exercise 24 and Exercise 25, Eric Satie, Socrate, in a Japan premiere, and Anton Webern, Symphony Opus 21, conducted by Hiroyuki Iwaki. For Cage's Etc. 2 for orchestras, Iwaki was joined by fellow conductors Toshi Ishianagi, Toshiro Mayuzumi, and Yoji Yuasa. In Etc. 2 for orchestras, city imagery takes the place of nature imagery, beginning with a 30-minute tape recording made in Cage's apartment on the corner of 18th Street and 6th Avenue in New York City, punctuated with the ringing of the composer's telephone, which plays through the fixed length of the piece, approximately 30 minutes. Drury suggests that the sounds of the orchestral chords bring to mind the squealing of car brakes, car horns in traffic, and the scraping of metal against metal. Let's have a listen to John Cage's Etc. 2 for orchestras. Join us next week on All Things Cage when Stephen Drury joins us once again to talk about his life as a conductor. Thanks for listening to All Things Cage, and have a great New Year's Eve.